Welcome to Hey, Have You Read This? The weekly podcast where we discuss the books you should be reading from the best writers. You're joined by writer and author Hayley Savark and publicist Madeline Ryan.
Hello.
Today, we're diving into A Darker Shade of Magic from author V.E. Schwab. Kel is one of the last Antari, magicians with a rare, coveted ability to travel between parallel Londons, red, grey, white, and once upon a time, black. Kel was raised in Arras, Red London, and officially serves the Marish Empire as an ambassador, travelling between the frequent bloody regime changes in White London and the court of George III in the dullest of Londons, the one without any magic left to see. Unofficially, Kel is a smuggler, servicing people willing to pay for even the smallest glimpses of a world they'll never see. It's a defiant hobby with dangerous consequences, which Kel is now seeing firsthand. After an exchange goes awry, Kel escapes to Grey London and runs into Delilah Bard, a cut purse with lofty aspirations. She first robs him, then saves him from a deadly enemy, and finally forces Kel to spirit her to another world for a proper adventure. Now perilous magic is afoot, and treachery lurks at every turn to save all of the worlds they'll first need to stay alive. Dun, dun, dun. So, Maddie, have you read this?
No. I haven't read
first,
this.
No.
Yeah, look.
Explain yourself.
Can I just say, when we picked this book, I know you really wanted to read this book, yeah. And I did too, but when I read... So, let me just say... That synopsis you just read is a lot better than the one on the back of my book.
Yeah.
My one is tiny and I feel like it gives you absolutely no information about what's about to happen.
Do you want to read it just to compare?
Yeah, okay. Kel is one of the last travelers, magicians with a rare ability to travel between parallel universes connected by one magical city. There's Grey London without magic and ruled by the Mad King George, Red London where magic is revered and where Kel was raised alongside the heir to the Empire. White London, where people fight to control the remaining magic and magic fights back, and once there was Black London.
Mm. Yeah.
Doesn't tell us anything about an adventure or this Delilah Bird.
Like... Yeah. Well, there's other characters as well, actually. Yeah. There's like a pirate.
When I picked this up, I remember being in the bookstore and I picked this up and I also picked up, I don't know if it was The Near Witch. Is that the other one by V.E. Schwab? So I picked up... I picked up the Near Witch and I was like, oh, I feel like this is way more my style of fantasy than this one.
This, I would say that this is very traditional fantasy. This is the lots of event. Well, not, it's not a really massively plot driven. No, I can't say that because Addie LaRue is not plot driven. But it's a very much a character, like traditional fantasy where you don't know what's going on until probably 100 pages in. And then you kind of go, okay, I'm starting to like understand the places, the people. There's lots of really colourful characters as you go along. Like there's a cross-dressing pirate that comes into it. So it gets quite broad and adventurous. So I think you should keep going and like...
Look, I was gonna... Like, I messaged you and I was like, I think this is gonna be a did not finish.
Yeah, I know.
But I... Look... Yeah, so plot-wise...
Look, he has a cool coat.
He has a really cool coat. And, you know, I imagine... I imagine that a lot of the buzz about this book is about Kel's character.
Yes, very much.
I know there's a lot fan edits and artworks, like, you know, like the typical fantasy where you're like obsessed with the main guy.
Yeah. He's like strong and a badass, but he's also like a little bit like quirky and...
A little scrawny.
A little scrawny.
But like powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely got that vibe. I don't think... Even, you know, you reading out that, the synopsis, I just don't think the plot's for me. I just don't think it interests me. And I really struggle to get through a book if it doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
But in saying that, I love the writing. It's a really funny one. And I think that's why I probably will try and finish the book.
Victoria is an unbelievable writer. Like, I've literally
liked... She's a really great writer.
Every book that she writes is just so... Like, Addie LaRue is... Like, we've both said
it's out of this world.
It's out of this world. Like, it's out of the realm. The top pick of this year. One of, anyway, you know, that we've done on the podcast for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I also think it's really funny. I don't think it's written in any way or shape or form similar to Addie LaRue.
No.
Like, very different. To be honest, I feel like you could think that this is a different author.
Well, interestingly, with her, Victoria, she actually wrote... She writes under two different pen names. So she wrote V.E. Schwab.
Yeah.
And then she writes Victoria Schwab. And the reason why she did that is because she wanted to separate adult and young adult from her. And she actually had an Instagram post today. I'll actually get it up because she made this decision with the next book, I think, in this series. It's like Galliant, it's called, I'm pretty sure. Where is she? V.E. Schwab. Gallant. Mm-hmm. She wrote, which is this book. Yep,
Gallant, okay.
So I'll read a little bit of what she says about this decision. So many years ago when I wrote my first adult novel, I did it under V.E. Schwab instead of Victoria. At the time, there were several reasons, from the inherent sexism to the desire to create a separation in my brands. But over the last couple of years, I found myself wishing more and more that I could bring my pieces back together under one name. And to be honest, that name was V.E. In part to avoid the continuing confusion of why my books came out under different names in the US, and in part because I feel more at home in that skin. Several months ago, I sat on my living room floor looking at the cover of Gallant, my Gallant arc, and I just didn't feel right. There's a lot behind this, and it's a more private conversation. But the point is, I told my editor and agent that they both set out to help, and the moment I saw the revised cover, I felt an intense relief. And so it might not seem like a big deal, but it feels like a big deal to me. From here on out, all of my books, YA and adult and new adult, will all come out under the name V.E. Schwab. So she's made the decision to just put it all together. And okay. I know J.K. Rowling did this as well. Like the reason why it's not Johanna Rowling is because at the time it was like, women don't write.
Yeah.
Which is terrible.
That's kind of sad.
But that's like J.K. Rowling, you know. Yeah. Doesn't read it, I guess, but.
Well, it worked out well for her.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But anyway, back to the book. It does take a little while. Like, it's not a big book. It's quite short.
No. Like, I feel like, you know, I'm looking at where I got what? I got 60 pages in. Yeah. And I just...
Any fantasy enthusiast will tell you that a fantasy book takes at least 100 pages to really, like, get going.
I would expect that.
Because there's a lot of world building. Like, you're in a completely different world. You've got Red London, White London. He's jumping between worlds. You're not really sure what is this magic system? Like, what's going on?
It's kind of the thing. I feel like, I'm just kind of waiting. I feel like there's no plot at the moment.
Yeah, it's all very information dump.
Yeah, and I think with Addie LaRue, you know, straight away from the synopsis that I read, I knew... Yeah. What this was about.
Yeah.
I knew that it was a girl who was cursed with immortality and cursed to be forgotten.
Yeah.
And then knowing that pushed me through that sort of really slow writing at the beginning, you know, like lots of descriptions, very poetic.
Very poetic. This isn't quite poetic. Slow.
No, it's not. But I still really, really appreciate her writing.
I think you would, I think this is too... So Maddie's never read fantasy.
No.
and I think that you should start with diet fantasy, which is like your poison. Six of Crows, Poison Study, A Court of Thorns and Roses. And then you can move on to like more advanced fantasy, which is like The Priory of the Orange Tree by Samantha Shannon.
I don't know if I'll ever be on that level. But
I think you will. I think you'll surprise yourself.
Maybe. We'll see. But Six of Crows. Man, oh man. Hezbrecker. Got me wrapped around his pinky finger.
So do you think you'll finish? Or?
Look, I think I will. And I'll be sure to say, in next week's episode, probably, if I finished it.
Yeah.
I think I will, purely for the fact that I really appreciate her writing.
Yeah.
And I think I would like to finish it. I don't like not finishing a book, especially if... You know, like, I didn't flat out hate this book.
Yeah.
It's just that I just don't think the plot's for me. I think I need a little bit more.
So you,
I think I need something like Addie LaRue, something that makes me go, oh my god, this girl has.
So you're not a
deal
world
with the devil.
Yeah, you're not a world building gal. You're a
not
like
really.
I need the story.
You know, and with
yeah.
Six of Crows, it was like this massive heist. It was this exciting heist, and from the get go, we knew that there was going
to
be a heist.
You would really enjoy. And I've spoken to you about this before, but this is like epic fantasy. But Brandon Sanderson is like the king of fantasy. But his first book in the Mistborn series. Empire of Storms. Is that right? I can't remember. Empire of Storms? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Empire of Storms.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Me for help.
No, the first book in the Mistborn series is a heist. It's like Ocean's 11 meets like fantasy. And it's very fast. It's like quick. But it's adult, so it's not like Six of Crows. It's obviously young adult. But it's adult. But you might enjoy that. But it is a world building, like there's a lot going on, but like this A Darker Shade of Magic is difficult to follow because of the intense kind of world building, and it takes that time to get into it. Whereas if I compare it to something like Mistborn, where it's like, okay, I kind of get what's going on straight away, because the world is introduced to you very slowly through the characters, and like we've got different races of people and it's like very breadcrumb along the way.
Okay.
Whereas this is like you're just in.
Yeah.
You're in and you're like, what is going on?
And I have to say, I liked the concept, like in these different Londons, I liked the concept that like when you travel from one London to another, you travel through the same space, like the same part of that thing.
Yes.
So if you're in a room in Red London, you are transported to that exact same spot in, you know, White London or Grey London.
Yeah.
I liked that. And I also liked the idea that there's this, like, central spot that the tavern, what's it called? I think I wrote it down. The something tavern, the Stone's Throw Tavern.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's pretty much the exact same in every world. It's, like, one part of the three worlds.
It's like the anchor.
Yeah, that remains the same. I don't know why, but for some reason, when I read that part, I was like, oh, like maybe I like the story. I don't know why it was this tavern that.
Yeah, it was home. It's like a home place, you know?
Maybe because this guy is like traveling and, you know, through the first, I'm only up to what, 60 pages? But through the first few pages, he's like exhausted from traveling.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he kind of like is comfortable in this one spot.
I
liked that. So yeah, I don't think it's going to be a did not finish. I just think it's going to be a maybe we'll take
time.
It'll probably be on the back burner, I think. You know,
I'll take your time reading it. Yeah.
Yeah, because I've got other books to read, but I think I will finish it eventually, and I'll be sure to.
Well, this book unfolds. I would recommend you keep going because it does open up to a very broad world. There's lots of really colourful characters. Like I said, there's like a cross-dressing pirate.
I'm interested to hear that as well because, you know, for now it's pretty much just, you know, a couple of characters and none of them really have much substance.
No, it really
opens
up.
Kel, the main character.
And you can really witness, like, Victoria's got such an amazing imagination. Like, I've never read anything like this where it's quite unique.
Okay, you've convinced me the cross-dressing pirate
got me. The cross-dressing pirate has got you.
Say no more. You had me at cross-dressing pirate, really.
Really, yeah. It's going to be like, that's how I'm going to sell the book to people.
Yeah.
Like, it's got a cross-dressing pirate in there, just so you know.
Do you know what? That reminds me. Did you ever watch Stardust?
The movie? Yes, a Neil Gaiman book. He wrote that book, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Are you kidding me? I did not know that.
Oh, I knew.
Maybe we should.
Come on.
Do you know what? I didn't even know that was a book. So maybe we should read that in future.
Oh, it's a good book.
I really liked the movie as a kid. That was one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
With Robert De Niro as a cross-dressing pirate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Amazing. Yeah.
Okay, well, we're definitely adding that to the list of books we're going to be reading.
Do you have any quotes from this?
No, you saw me open up. So I want to share. Let's see, I've opened up to the first page where the dedication
is. Not even on the chapter.
Not even on the chapter yet. I don't know. There's something, I like reading a dedication in a book and I don't know, like when there's a line so simple and yet you can appreciate it.
I know because, I've said this literally on every podcast, but Maddie needs to read A Court of Thorns and Roses because there are quotes in there that'll like, it's just,
that'll,
you know,
like
melt you.
Yeah.
Melt you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I will, like I want to read it actually. I'm hearing so much about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the dedication at the front of this book is for the ones who dream of stranger worlds.
Which is very A Court of Thorns and Roses, by the way.
Interesting. I like that. And I feel like, you know, it's got nothing to do with the book. Like, I feel like that's a very fantasy thing to say, like, for the ones who dream of stranger worlds. But I really liked that.
Yeah. I like simple dedications like that.
You're a part of something. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it is a strange world, though, that she introduces us to. Yeah. And you're only at the tip of the iceberg of it as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's good.
I have another quote.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
That I really liked.
I have three that I'd like to share after you.
Okay. So this one's kind of big, but I liked this one because it gave me that, it made me realize, like, Kel is going to be one of those fantasy characters that, like, you're obsessed with.
Yeah.
He's going to be the reason why you want to keep reading.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a big one. And he's, like, playing this game that Atari? Is that what they're called?
Antari.
Yep. That they use to, like, hone their skills of, like, you know, mastering the elements.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kel lifted his head from his hand. "Is it?" he asked. He flexed his fingers a fraction and the clod of earth rose from its groove and drifted casually into his palm. "Are you certain?" he added as a small gust caught up the sand and swirled it into the air, circling his wrist. "Maybe it is." The water drew itself up into a drop and then turned to ice in his palm. "Or maybe it's not," he added as the oil caught fire in its groove. "Maybe," said Kel as the piece of bone rose into the air. "You simply lack any semblance of power." I love that because I was like, ooh. Like, he's kind of described as, like, this red-haired, fair-skinned, scrawny sort of. I get that typical, like, you know, jaunty, mysterious fantasy kind of character. And, you know, we can kind of tell, like, he's powerful, he's in control, he's one of the few people who can travel between these worlds.
Yeah.
But this is the first time where he kind of flaunts that.
Yeah.
He gloats about it to someone who, like, doubts his abilities.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, there was something about that I was like...
Made you chuckle, huh?
I was like, yeah. I was like, maybe I could get into this. I don't know.
Was there any others or that's it for
now?
No,
that's...
Well, she's only 60 pages in, so... I had a couple that I really liked. One is a bit of a description that I thought was really beautifully written, and I highlighted it in my Kindle years ago. This book came out in 2015, actually.
Wow, so big.
Yeah, a bit of a while ago. Yeah. And she's written, obviously, books after that.
Many moons
which we've
ago.
Read, you know, or I think we'll read a lot from her.
Oh, like, for sure, yeah.
I feel like she's one of our favourite mutual authors.
I think the main reason why I will keep reading this is because of her writing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so this is a little, like, description rather than a quote. It's okay. Every night of the year, the market lived and breathed and thrived. The stalls were always changing, but the energy remained, as much a part of the city as the river it fed on. Kel traced the edge of the bank, weaving through the evening air, savouring the taste and smell, the sound of laughter and music, the thumb of magic. And I like the description. I was like, oh, Victoria.
She's got great descriptions.
Hasn't she?
I find it so funny that you would think, since Addie LaRue was very poetic, every sentence was like poetry.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that she also is able to...
weave that into this, do you think? Or
yeah, but I mean, like, sort of like it's a much milder version. I feel like as a writer, you're like all or nothing. You're poetic or you're not poetic.
Yes.
It seems like she's able to, I don't know, like, it's poetic of sorts, but
She's able to weave
it's not
both.
To the same caliber that Addie LaRue
Addie
was.
LaRue, yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel like in those moments you do know, like, this is V.E. Schwab.
Yeah. I think as well, actually, I don't know if she's ever written in first person personally. Most of her books, from my knowledge, are written in third person.
Mm.
And I think third person is really strong sometimes, like, because... you know, you read a book from a first-person perspective sometimes and it's not as intense because the description isn't quite there because it's like, I went and did this thing. Like, it's very action-driven. Or I thought about this, you know. Whereas when it's a third-person perspective, you get that really outsider of, you know, the trees were falling and blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
Kel moved through the shadows like he wasn't there and all of that kind of thing, which obviously can still be done in first person. But I think I personally find it more powerful when it's done in third person. It just seems you're an observer of the story.
Yeah, I agree. And you get a lot more perspectives, I think.
More perspectives, yeah. I think it's easier to write fantasy that way as well, because you're not just, you know, I is like following one character.
Yeah.
Whereas true. Third is like multiple perspectives.
Yeah.
And I really hate it in books, some books that I've read where it changes perspective to a different character, but it's still in first person. So like they're both in first person.
Mm.
I don't like that at all. Like when it's like, yeah, say like the story follows me and then it's like, then it's next chapter, it follows you, but it's in first person. Yeah. I'm like, no.
Cause you, I feel like it would be hard keeping track of whose
perspective thoughts are
these.
Yeah.
I can't say that I've read many books that actually are first person.
Well, A Court of Thorns and Roses is first person. And I'm wondering how you'll go with that, because it is a younger, look, you got to read the first one to get to the second one. Like that's the whole point.
And I've heard that, but then, like Jaden Cooley, who runs the, like, I don't even know if it's like called a book club anymore, but, he started basically ages ago, like a year ago, he decided to read a book a week. And, I think he like went through a bit of a breakup and like wanted to find himself through literature.
Through literature.
And so he basically just started posting TikToks.
Yeah.
One a week, just being like, this is the book I read. This is why I loved it.
I think I follow him.
You probably do. He's very, very famous on TikTok.
Yeah.
And he created like this Facebook community and it blew up like internationally. Like there were so many people who wanted to follow this guy along as he read. He fell in love with books.
I'm actually so happy about this because I think, I mean, we've talked about this. I mean, we're going off on a tangent a little bit because I think we're finished talking about the book, let's be honest.
No, I have a point to my story.
He just finished
A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Oh, okay. Yep, yep.
And he's obsessed with the first book because everyone I've talked to has said, like, the second book is way better.
Mm-hmm.
But he, like, the loved first the first book.
You'll really like it, actually, because it's a simple adventure. It's a Beauty and the Beast retelling. And so I think you're really quite romantic.
Give me some of that romance.
Give me some of that romance.
That sweet, sweet romance.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I will enjoy it.
One of the best things about, you know, like, I've been very alone in my reading adventures, and I think you have as well.
I've been very alone in
life. I'm very alone in life.
But this is going to take a very depressing turn.
I'm very alone. I think TikTok has really proven to the world that a lot of people are reading again. And this is really, it's a really exciting time.
Yeah.
But that people are, like, because no one reads anymore, you know.
No, yeah, there's heaps of
since COVID. I think it's
especially
really,
since COVID.
Yeah, people have been like found been their love of literature.
Yeah, we're in the same friendship group, but we're the only two readers, really.
That's so true.
As much as we try,
and it's funny. I feel like reading's one of those things. Like once you get someone though, they're like, oh my god, I need to read more. Like once they get there, then they go, oh, that's like, I love reading.
I think it takes is finishing your first book.
Yeah.
Not even starting your first book, because I think that's the easy part is starting a book.
Yeah.
Finishing your first book.
Yeah.
And being like, oh my god, and even that feeling of accomplishment.
Yeah.
You don't have to love a book, but you finish it and you're like, oh my god,
I just finished the book. Yeah, I know.
You know,
I know.
Like it's a great feeling. It's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a big book.
I know. Well, bloody hell, I get that, you know, from fantasy. Yeah. Jesus. I just want to read out a couple of other quotes here. So
go for your life.
One of them, I'll end on this one actually. So this one goes like this. But the thing about people, Kel had discovered, is that they didn't really want to know. They thought they did, but knowing only made them miserable. And I really like this because I think, well, when I read it years ago, I was like, that's so true in terms of like ignorance is bliss, you know, not knowing. And just reading it now, like rediscovering it, is made me think about COVID and all that conspiracies with COVID and how that can apply with that. Because the more you know about it, or the more you know about like a truth in quotation marks, the more miserable these people become. Like, I've never met a conspiracy theorist who's genuinely happy with their lives.
No, and you never meet, like, a half-assed one, too.
A half-assed,
they're
yeah.
all the way
it's
down
all
the
in. It's all in.
All-consuming.
The red pill. Yeah. The red pill has been taken.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a really good quote because it's very true for all aspects of
so
life.
So many things, yeah. yeah. Like, ignorance really is bliss.
It is, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that, either. Like, I think sometimes people, we're always like, you've got to be informed. And it's like, you don't have to. You can actually not use the internet. Like, shock, horror, you don't have to be on social media at
yeah.
all.
Yeah. I actually, a few months ago, decided to, and it sounds a bit stupid, but I stopped paying attention to the news.
Yeah. Well, I've done that.
When
as well.
Something's really yeah. big and newsworthy, you find out about it through people talking.
Yeah.
But I needed to take a break. You know,
I think especially because COVID's just in the news
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah. And like Hayley and I both studied public relations, and all throughout our degree, you know, we had classes where you had to read every news article that mm-hmm. was out that day. And then you had to come in and you had to explain a news article to
yep.
the group.
Yep.
And like everyone had to have a different, you know, topic in the news that day.
Yep.
And so we were so
stressed about
it. We were so stressed, and we read so many newspapers, and we read the news every day. And in my spare time, I thought I was crazy if I didn't open up my like news.com app
yes.
and just yeah. read through all the latest news.
I had
news.
The ABC app, I had SBS.
Like, yeah, we were so consumed with yeah. the news. And then obviously COVID happened.
And it was just COVID, COVID.
And it
since.
Just was COVID, COVID. This yeah. is how many people are unvaccinated. This is how many people are dying. This is,
yeah.
And it just got too much. This is protests and
yeah.
Black Lives Matter happened. And obviously we had a responsibility to pay attention to that. But it was so heavy.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, I agree. Like we've had
so
we've
heavy.
Had a lot of heavy 2 years, which I think is probably one of the reasons why people are reading again, like to
yeah.
kind of escape.
So after
from
2 years of that, I was just like, yeah. no, because there's nothing happy on the news.
Yeah. Well, I've always like just done even that. Like I think a lot of people are quitting the news, like mainstream media. But the gripe that gets me about that though is then people go on Facebook, and we all know that Facebook is genuinely filled with fake news,
yeah.
and they don't take accountability for that.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't blame someone who watches mainstream media while you're consuming news on Facebook. Do you know what I mean?
No, absolutely.
But yeah, ignorance is bliss. That's why I really liked
yeah.
that quote. I have one more actually
mm-hmm.
that kind of goes on the opposite maybe of this that
Ooh.
We were talking about. But it's one that a female protagonist says in the book. I'd rather die on an adventure than live standing still.
Wow. That's actually me. That's so me. I always say, like, I would rather die doing something that I'm, like, passionate about,
yeah.
something that makes me happy,
yeah.
than
live a safe life.
Then,
yeah.
you know, you could be walking down the street. No one knows what's, like, planned for us. I could be walking down the street and get hit by a bus.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would hate for something like that to happen. Like, I don't want to die with any
no.
regrets.
No.
Like, I go for, like, sunrise beach swims.
Yes, you say
and
this.
And
yeah.
obviously sunrise is, like, chomping time. It's like feeding time for sharks. We live in Australia.
We have a net There's on a little... the Gold Coast.
Yeah, but don't always work.
It's too... Maddie goes still... in like knee deep water. I don't think a shark great white's gonna come up.
Sometimes there are big waves and it gets a bit scary. No, but like I go out before the flags are out, and if you're in Australia you always swim between the flags, otherwise
right,
a rip
right.
will get you.
Get you
good. And my parents are always like, oh my God, like you, it's like, don't go for swims.
Don't go,
like
you may drown.
They're like panic mode. And I'm like, well, for one, I go into like waist deep water. That's
yeah,
it.
I was going to say, you're pretty safe.
But two, I'm like,
I like
if something
doing this.
Were to happen to me, it's something that brings me joy.
Yeah.
And I would rather die doing something
you hear
that brought me joy.
Yeah. You hear so many stories about regret though, like people at the end of their life and they regret the simplest things of,
yeah.
like my nana, like she regretted not, she was an like loved seeing opera.
Oh my
and
gosh.
She really regretted not doing more of that and like performing and all
yeah.
the, you know. And I just thought, why didn't you? And she was like, because I was too scared. And I'm like, oh my God, how many people live their life? Like how many talented people are probably in the world afraid to unleash their talent, right?
Absolutely.
It's crazy. I
yeah.
mean, I'm kind of one of them in a way, like with my writing, like I'm just like... What
yeah.
if no one likes it? I'm like, calm
Absolutely.
Down.
Well, even we're like this with the podcast.
Well, the podcast, that's right.
We're
what
still
if no
like,
one listens?
Yeah. yeah, I think I really like that quote.
Yeah.
Because it is so relatable.
It's true, isn't it?
Especially with COVID.
Yeah.
COVID's really changed my perspective on a lot of things.
Yeah, I think
a lot of us have been raised to work, you know, travel a bit, but work is life, you know?
Yeah.
That daily grind, push through it, you know, like you don't have to love your job, just push through it. And then when you retire, you can have all these big plans and you can, you know, buy a caravan and go around Australia.
Yeah.
But then I think what COVID's shown us is that you burn out easily. Not all of us are built to, you know, have that daily grind.
Yeah.
Work ourselves to the bone. And also, you know, you don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Anything can happen.
Exactly.
Like you don't know what's going to happen.
You don't know.
So if
exactly.
you want to go and do something, go and do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah. live every day to the fullest.
Yeah. I think that's the thing with reading that's really taught us about it as well. Like you read these stories about these characters from these authors and it does inspire you. Like I was very inspired by, A Court of Thorns and Roses and Throne of Glass, both of those series.
Yeah.
Throne of Glass is far superior. Oh my God. But
okay.
ACOTAR is like the ACOTAR for
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
That's like the entry level to her
okay.
books, I would say. But Throne of Glass is the far more superior series
okay.
that she's written. And I mean, there's still romance and stuff in it, but yeah.
I'm leaving breadcrumbs
to just get you in the mood.
I wonder if we should read Wild and see if we want to trek.
The Reese Witherspoon
movie. See if we have the like talking about books that inspire or like Eat, Pray, Love.
Eat, Pray, Love. I didn't really like it, but I think I read it when I was too young. Like I think
probably.
I would appreciate it now. I really like what is her bloody name? The author. Oh my God. I follow her on
who wrote that book.
Elizabeth Gilbert. She wrote City of Girls, the latest one. She's a great author.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Elizabeth Gilbert. Cause the movie's funny. The movie's hilarious. Like Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
In it.
Oh God. I love Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
She's one of my favorite actors.
There's actually
Notting Hill. So of course.
Notting Hill, of course. There's actually another book that's coming out by Brené Brown. Do you know Brené Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's writing one called The Atlas of the Heart, and it just looks so beautiful. The cover looks so beautiful, but this, like the information that she's giving, because obviously she writes nonfiction, just
and
is beautiful.
And I don't
beautiful.
Know how I feel about that. I'm not the biggest fan of nonfiction.
Yeah, we talked about this in our first podcast that we did about how you and I don't really read self-help. Like, I like some self-help sometimes.
I don't.
But
don't
you're like, yeah,
do.
You're like, don't, I don't want to know.
I'm a Capricorn. I'm like, I know better than anyone.
Don't tell me what to
don't
do.
Don't tell me what to
what's
do.
What's it called? Weather sign? Like, I'm air. What are you?
I think I'm
you're
an
fire.
Earth sign. Am I an earth sign?
I
feel like I'm an earth sign.
You're an earth sign?
Let me quickly Google it.
I'm a Libra. So I just go with the flow. I don't care. Everything's about balance for me. If I go into something too heavy, then I'm off balance. I'm not okay. I've got to have balance in my life. I've got to have a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're earth. Okay.
I'm earth. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm very stubborn.
Yeah,
that's
you are.
Yeah, you are. Bit of a bitch too.
OCD comes out a little bit.
Control
sometimes.
Freak as well.
Maddie's so funny with this podcast. She's like, sends me stuff during the week. And she's like, is this okay? And I'm like, Maddie, I'm a Libra. I don't, like, whatever.
I
like,
know.
Just
I feel like
go
I'm,
with
way,
the flow.
I'm way too overbearing. And then I freak myself out because I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I just feel like I'm just too chaotic.
Too chaotic.
Too chaotic.
Yeah.
Too intense. Too much of a control freak. And you're just like,
I'm too blasé. I'm like, what? Dude.
Does it matter?
Dude, just read a book.
We're all just stardust. Like,
I would.
You
I would.
You're like, does it matter?
We're made of stars. It doesn't matter. We're a speck on the earth. We're a grain of sand. Oh my God.
So surprisingly, I have a couple of questions to ask you. As I was reading this and I knew that I wouldn't
finish it yet.
That was such like a segue change. But yes, did you know that
I might not remember this.
They describe Rai, the character who's like the prince of Marrakesh?
He is of Red London. Is he Red London?
Yeah, Red London.
Red London, yeah.
He's a prince.
Yeah.
They describe him as a rake. or rakish.
Oh my God, and stop it. And I read
that and
How
I was like.
How did you pick that up? That's hilarious.
Like, and so I just imagined you reading this and being like, ah, looks like a rake.
I would have done that. I would have.
But it's so funny because they say that and then straight after they talk about him being more like well-built than Kel. Like Kel's got that jaunty sort of skinnier.
Rakish.
Probably more built like an actual rake.
Right.
But I found that so funny that I would have. I was trying to imagine what you would have thought.
I would have read it as in he was a rake. Because I would not have known that that word meant he was a promiscuous little boy.
A bad boy.
He's a bad boy.
For context, if you're listening to this and you didn't listen to last week's episode with the Duke and I, Simon Bassett, the main character, is described as a rake. And Hayley thought that meant that he looks exactly like a rake.
I thought it meant tall and thin, all right? But it's not. It means a promiscuous man.
Yeah.
It means
he's got a bad reputation.
He gets
a
around.
A bad boy. Gets
bad
around.
Bad reputation.
But yeah, I thought that was funny and I wanted to bring it up just to embarrass you.
Yeah.
Who do you think would enjoy this book?
I would say that this book is definitely for fantasy lovers, and it's for people who really like that world building aspect of fantasy, because it is like multiple worlds. There's a magic system that takes some time to kind of understand, and it takes some time to understand how they're jumping between worlds and like kind of what's going on. His coat as well is of a magical relic. There's also a relic that comes from Black London through the system.
There's also definitely that storyline, kind of where the last page I read, Kel, the main character, is kind of questioning like where he came from and his roots. He doesn't know. He's talking a lot about forgetting. Like
forgetting.
Like his memory is his worst enemy or something. Like he doesn't know where he came from, who his parents are. And he's sort of, that's the first time he's like questioning.
He's questioning that. Who he is, basically, how he ended up in that position.
So I imagine that story kind of picks up.
It does pick up, yes. So I would recommend this book to people who really like that world building aspect of fantasy, high fantasy, really rich story. V.E. Schwab is a great writer as well, like you.
Yeah, and that's worth mentioning. Yeah, I'm probably going to read the book.
Because of her writing.
Yeah, she's got great, interesting writing.
And the characters as well that she creates are really colourful. Like there's a lot of personality in these characters. Like Kel, he's a badass, but like he's also like he is a bit like quirky and witty and it gets quite funny with the banter between certain characters that come into the play. Okay. So I think you'll enjoy that as well.
All right.
As it builds.
It's funny you were saying as well, like, we do have a lot of world building, but I don't at all feel like, at least not, you know, where I'm up to, I don't feel like it's overly descriptive.
No.
I think people could have gotten that impression from Invisible Life of Addie LaRue because it was so poetic and so descriptive.
So much, yeah. My friend is reading it at the moment, Jade.
Oh my god!
She loves it.
I want to know what she thinks.
She's up to the bit where she finds out that a certain someone also made a certain. She's like texting me this morning, and she's like, "Oh my god, I'm so happy when like other friends read books that I recommend and they love it, and they're like,
yes, oh, you know, there's nothing worse
so
than you
good.
Loving a book. That's like and last week, no the one... Duke and I really enjoyed that,
and I was like,
not.
No.
And it's jarring. You're like, oh
you didn't okay. like doing it.
Right.
I had a feeling, to be honest, I had a feeling that you would struggle with A Darker Shade of Magic.
Like I said at the beginning, I think it all started because I was excited to read it and then I read the synopsis and I was just like,
is this for me?
I just don't care about this storyline. Yeah. And then...
it's not my favourite fantasy that I've read either.
Yeah. I just think, you know, we went from... Maybe if I'd read this first before Invisible Life of Addie LaRue.
You would appreciate.
But I just think Addie LaRue was... Even though it wasn't a killer plot, the story was still...
God tier.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it still instantly, I was like, I want to know why this girl was cursed to immortality. Yeah. I want to know why she wanted to make a deal with the devil.
Yeah.
I want to know more, and I want to know why someone.
Whereas with this, you're like, I don't really care.
I'm like, okay, he changes coats, all right. Like, this is a cool town, different Londons. I get it. I'm not hooked.
Yeah.
Nothing's really drawing me in.
Yeah.
Other than the writing and the possibility that this main character Kel could really become
who he was born to be.
Yeah. Ooh. All right. I also thought, because obviously this main character does, I feel like he does get a lot of buzz. Mm. I wanted to know, if this got adapted into a movie or a TV show, who do you think you'd want to play?
That's a great question.
Yeah. Well, I didn't read it, so I wanted to bring something to the table.
That's very difficult because I envisage him as a tall ginger man.
Yes.
And there's very
few... That's what
few,
he's described as.
No, right? But there's very few actors who are, like, of that description. Like, the literally only one I can think of is James Fraser, who is Scottish.
Oh, yeah.
But he's probably a little bit maybe too old to play
Yeah,
Cal.
I don't see that. Do you know,
Ron Weasley?
Funny you should say that.
Rupert Grint, sorry, I should
is,
say that.
The guy from, was it About Time?
Oh, yes, yes. Good pick. Yeah.
I have a feeling he has a very hard name to pronounce.
About Time.
Domhnall Gleeson.
Domhnall Gleeson. He's probably a little bit old, Gleeson. But yes, he's perfect.
But he's got that, let me get the picture up. He's got that, like... I don't know, sort of mysterious, a bit
it's
jaunty
good.
Look
yeah.
about
it's
him.
It's a very Doctor Who, almost like, you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah. You think of like a Ginger Matt Smith?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
See that? Yep, yep. Has
I
to be tall and lanky. I think that's the biggest
do
thing.
Do you think he has to have red hair?
Yeah, it's kind of
character?
It's kind of described quite a bit.
I've seen so much fan art.
Yeah.
And I think him being redhead is a big part
it's
of it.
It's got to be a ringer.
Yeah. I wonder who else are there. Wow.
There's not many.
They really are a minority
ginger.
Hollywood,
yeah.
aren't they?
They're a minority group.
Who
I think
else
it's because of
there?
Like in Hollywood, in the acting world, there's not really, you know, we just want attractive people to play roles, and not saying that gingers aren't attractive. Oh my God, don't rake me over the coals over this, but it is that kind of archetype of tall,
think,
dark and handsome.
I think now is the time for the redhead though.
Yeah. Now is the time for the redhead.
Yeah.
I follow this guy on TikTok. He could actually play
redhead men. Are seen as lesser than redhead women, for
yeah.
sure, in
yeah.
like in movies. I
it's
mean,
like
not
the
like personally. You know how like I
but
don't know.
But
it's
so
like,
stupid because like Vikings and all were like redhead, pale, blonde.
Yeah.
You know, and they were tough.
Yeah, I think it would be hard actually to find.
Yeah. Who?
Oh my God! I typed in redhead actors. Tom Hiddleston.
With red hair?
In his prime. I just saw a picture. He has reddish hair when he's not playing
Tom
Loki.
Tom is way too attractive for Kel. Way too... Okay.
I've just shown it the picture. That shut you up real quick, didn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston... Prince Harry's come up.
Prince Harry? No.
Tom
Hiddleston, maybe, but like he's too
he's
old. He's
too old now, but Tom Hiddleston in his prime. Like when he played the Night Manager...
Oh.
I feel like, because he had that reddish? Felt,
yeah.
Sounds like I'm saying radish.
Radish? Reddish tinge to his hair.
That reddish tinge to his hair.
Have you seen that?
Oof. Because he's still, he's quite tall and lanky, but
he's
also built quite well.
Have you seen that TikTok where, like, he's playing that he's playing Loki and he like chokes the other character. You know that trend that's like, you see me in hindsight.
Yes.
Okay. So this the scene is like he chokes this other character and like smiles and the girl's like got popcorn on the couch. See me. It's so funny.
That's so true. Oh God.
It's like that one where he like laughs and then ooh, and then
he's got so many good one-liners, like especially in is it the first Avengers movie?
Yeah,
he does the whole like kneel,
yeah,
kneel before me,
and everyone, like, all
the
women
kneel,
are like,
and we're like, and I know he went through such a phase of people being like, say it, can you say it? Can you say it?
Kneel,
just say it.
And
he's
all
like,
the women
kneel.
Like, oh my God,
he's got such a great voice.
Great voice.
Yeah, yeah, he is such a great like mysterious man, tall,
yeah.
dark.
Tall, dark, handsome. And handsome. Say no more.
Oh,
like, honestly.
But I do think that I don't love him as Loki in the most recent stuff,
like
especially
the
Loki TV series.
Yeah,
did not like
also,
it. I felt like I was watching Tom Hiddleston trying to play Loki.
Oh,
I
no.
wasn't
You're
seeing
not in
Loki.
It. Perhaps he also felt like this, though. Because
yeah.
if you've seen him in other stuff, like he recently did
that. Excellent actor.
He's phenomenal.
And this is like, why I'm like, what happened?
Have you seen the Shakespeare thing he did? He did think something on SBS with like...
Did he do Macbeth?
No, I can't remember what it's called, but it's on SBS and it's got world-class actors. It's got, what's his name, who plays Doctor Strange?
Benedict Cumberbatch,
Tom Hiddleston, Michael Fassbender, like all these actors, like really high-profile actors are in it. But it's old Shakespearean.
I think they've all played
characters. They're all theatre kids.
They've all played, because... Michael Fassbender was Macbeth in the movie, wasn't he? In a later movie.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I don't know if Benedict Cumberbatch has done anything
in
that realm, but I swear Tom Hiddleston has played like on stage, maybe like Hamlet or something.
Yeah, he has, and he got an erection on stage. Fun fact. Why do I know this? Why do I have this knowledge?
Yeah, okay. Big Why fan, obviously.
Well, I like to know those things.
This took quite a turn.
This is taking quite a turn.
But yes, I'm surprised we've had this much to talk about when I didn't.
Well, I mean, we've gone off on a little bit of tension. I did read the whole book, so I had a fair bit to say.
I read the whole book.
I read. All right, it's Leviosa, not Leviosa. All right, Hayley.
All right, Hayley. I get it.
Imagine if someone in that class was just like, "Shut the fuck up, Hermione."
Shut up, Hermione.
Do you
know what though?
The Draco Hermione fan fiction. Oh my god. Ooh. One podcast. We should just have a podcast about fan fictions.
Absolutely,
that's a great
idea. Sign me up.
Can you bring your Captain America to the table?
I'll bring my like. When I was like 15 and I read One Direction Imagines.
Oh my god, you know that, you know the After book by Anna Todd is based on, you know that's based on Harry Styles. Yes. Have you read it?
Yes. No, I haven't.
Have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
It's not good. Do you know what? I feel a bit weird because I know that Harry Styles is not on board with it.
He's such a sweet man.
And so I'm just like, I don't know, I feel bad reading it and watching it.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like if he doesn't...
He doesn't want it.
It would be weird being a celebrity. And then, you know, it's one thing to have, you know, like, Imagines written about you that are very, like, you know, harmless. Yeah. But then to have one kind of take off and blow up.
I know.
And everyone knows it's based on you. And
yeah, it would be quite an unusual
it
feeling.
It would be weird to know that you were the inspiration for a book.
Have you seen, though, on the Graham Norton show, they had... the people who play like Michael Fassbender and I can never remember his name, but
James
really
McAvoy?
Like, thank you, James McAvoy in like X-Men. Yes. And they had like the fan section.
This.
Have you seen
and it's
this?
All
and it's all
Magneto
like
Magneto and what's his name?
It's Charles all like
Xavier?
Gay porn. and James,
I love that though.
James though is like, well, firstly, if anyone's given, it's me.
I know, best reaction to that.
And Michael's like, all right,
fair enough.
Fair enough. If
anyone's kidding. I know. Honestly.
Oh my god, it made me laugh so much.
Not
Graham
what you
Norton.
Would expect to be the fan fiction from that, but
someone
fair
took
enough.
The time. This is what always gets me about fan fiction.
And it was like great art as well.
Great
I remember
art.
Seeing this. It was like incredible was like art. Like good
someone
on them
took
for not just
the time.
Being like,
Anyway, I think we've come to the end of this episode.
Yes.
Thank you very much for listening. You know, Maddie didn't read the book, so we'll just blame
her. I've really milked
her.
Those 60 milked pages, though, haven't I?
Yeah.
I gave my 2 cents.
We talked about a broad range of topics on this podcast, not
quite
just
a mix,
the book.
Quite a mix.
Yes. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review. Please follow us on Instagram. Please do all the things. Send us in some funny things that have happened to you. What are you reading at the moment? Blah, blah, blah. What are you watching on Netflix? All of those things.
What do you want us to read next?
What do you
want
think
us
to of our
review reviews?
Next? Do you think our reviews are your reviews helpful? That's a good thing.
Are
we helpful?
Well, do you know what? But, you know, speaking from my experience today, like this makes me want to read the book. This
I'm
makes
glad.
Me want to finish reading the book. Yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
Because
it does
unravel the story.
I don't think it'll be my favourite book ever.
No. Addie LaRue will still be top tier for you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I do think that...
you'll finish it eventually.
Yeah, I do think I will. Yeah. And I'll be sure to
I mean, the
to
thing is with reading as well, like we've also made the mistake of being like, oh, we'll do this book and this book and this book. Like we're really excited.
Yes.
And then we're going, hang on, we can't read a book in a week. Let's just settle down.
Yeah.
Like it's a too
I think,
big commitment.
Yeah, going, I think maybe next year.
We'll start to...
We'll probably do one every 2 weeks maybe.
Yeah, still figuring it out. All right, anyway,
we've
I'm
only been
I'm
doing
fastened.
This for 2 days.
For 2 days.
I love mum. Who is that? Bretman Rock?
2 days.
I've only been doing this for two days. How I feel. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
What are we reading next week? You know the schedule. I don't. Maddie's the organized one.
So next week, and I am so excited for this. So,
all right, this week,
kind of we've obviously our episodes come out every Wednesday. Last week they didn't.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't.
Last week you got two.
Yeah.
It's fine. You're welcome.
Yeah.
And neither of them were on the right days, but anyways. But so they come out on a Wednesday, so we're kind of we're missing the Halloween because Halloween's on a Sunday night, so it's either going to be before Halloween or after Halloween.
Yes, that's right.
We're going to have a 2-week period where it's kind of Halloween themed. Obviously, this will be the first one before Halloween. And then I thought next week we could do The Haunting of Hill House.
That's right. That is convincing. I do not read horror. I hate horror. Even though I watch
this is like a movies. Penguin classic though, and from what I've been reading about it, she is like the greatest horror writer ever. Like classic horror writer.
Classic horror. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'll give it
like
a go.
Like Ghosts and Ghouls, not like it's. But it's the only thing I can say about this is it's such a clever book, and so I haven't finished reading the book yet.
I haven't even started.
But it's quite a small book. It's fairly small, so I think.
Okay. Well, it's a Penguin classic, so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll give it a go.
Yeah. But so the TV show, The Haunting of Hill House, is by far Maddie one of my favorite TV shows of all times.
She wanted me to watch this so bad.
And
I
think I'm
going to
make you. I think I'm going to make you. It's not.
I'm not horror.
It's not just like ghosts and demons and that's the end of the story. It's like there's so much more to it.
Opens up.
It's like stories of love and pain and heartbreak and death. So the TV show is also very different to the book. Book is
The full hamburger. The TV show is like, the fries on the side.
They've changed the story. Like they've really changed the story. They've taken inspiration from the book and they've taken like some character names and some character attributes. And obviously the house is still the same, but in the TV show, it kind of follows a family living in Hill House and the occurrences that happen to them, paranormal stuff. And they've each, you know, there's a whole bunch of kids. Every character has their own storyline, their own, like, sorrows and bliss kind of thing.
Okay.
Their own, they're all kind of haunted by something.
Yeah.
Not a ghost. They're all haunted, like emotionally.
Trauma, you mean. Trauma. Like, or PTSD, et cetera.
And it's a really great story about trauma.
Okay.
And
I'll read it.
How that manifests.
I'll read it.
How you can be haunted by more than just a ghost. In the book, it's like a paranormal investigator goes to the house and it's kind of his experiences in the house. So they've really changed the story, but I loved the TV show. It's so clever. And I don't just love a horror story just for like jump scares. I like it when it's got a good plot. And because I think that's so rare in horror to have a good plot, have great character building. And for it to just be clever. You're not relying on jump scares. You're actually relying on cleverness.
Like, have you ever watched Midsommar?
No, and I don't want to because enough people.
It's psychologically traumatizing.
Yes.
But. Again, not jump horror, like not, jump horror, jump scare horror. It's clever. It's like, it's.
You will not get me to watch that.
I can't believe I've watched
it. This is not.
Like, why am I watching it?
This show is not at all as scary.
It's like that. Or gory, oh my God. That anything. One I hated that Mark made me watch, my husband. Oh my God. What's that
Hereditary?
One?
Hereditary?
Well, I watched that one. I couldn't sleep for 3 months.
That one scene has like disgusted me up.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Every time, and that's, you know what? I have
the
these
banging
things.
Of the head on the.
I have these like little wooden banisters.
I can't. Like it's just.
I'm just
feral.
Every night. I'm imagining fucking Toni Collette hanging off my banisters. So thank
disgusting.
You for that. Thank
no,
you.
No, it was that one that Emily Blunt was in, and her husband did it. The Thing or whatever. Is it the Things Unseen? Oh, he's done a second one now. Those creatures, and you can't make a sound. Quiet place.
A quiet place.
For God's sake.
You did not like that.
Mark, no, I liked it. No, don't get me wrong. I liked it. Mark made me watch it, however, and I was terrified.
Really?
I hated it. I hate things. I don't like things. This is why I need to write like sci-fi, because I would scare myself.
And see, I'm fine with that. I can't deal alien, with Toni Collette hanging off my banisters possessed with a demon.
Oh yeah, demons get me, but like, yeah, alien stuff like Signs. Oh my God, I can't. Because I think it's one of those things where it could be a possibility that it could happen, that like aliens could visit, and it freaks me out. It's like my biggest, if aliens visited Earth, I would literally kill myself. I'd be like, I'm going to pass away now. Bye, everyone.
That's it. That's how I feel about zombie movies.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about zombie movies. I'd be like, you know what? You know, like I watched The Walking Dead.
Nah, I'm not going to live. Why would they live? What do you have to survive for? Yeah, exactly.
Like, what is the point?
It's so funny when you see people do this with books and they're like reading dystopian fiction and they're like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Like, just be dead.
Yeah, like maybe we give up at some point.
Maybe we give up. Like The Walking Dead, I would have given up. I'd be like, why am I alive?
Oh, I just think like zombies. I'm just like, what a life to live as zombies all the time. Ugh.
Yeah, no. I'd just die.
Anyway, we're off on another tangent is what I meant to say. But yeah, so I'm very excited and I think you're going to change your mind about this.
Yeah.
I think you're actually going to enjoy the book and I think you'll want to watch the TV show and I hope we can sit down and binge watch it together.
We'll see.
But yes, so I'm very excited about that.
Halloween special, guys.
Halloween special.
Yeah, I would really want to bring up Edgar Allan Poe because he is like the classic Quoth the Raven, of that. I'm going to bring all of that to the table.
Yeah, go for it.
So Halloween special.
Yeah.
Spooky music. What should we do? A sad tambourine. Oh, wait, scary.
Wow.
All right, that sound is going to be in that next episode.
That's how we'll start it. Welcome to the Halloween special.
Okay, all right, we're done. We're done. Thank you for listening. Farewell.
Thank you for sticking with us.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.